We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Ben's the unquestioned leader of this group. He's the elder statesman and the Super Bowl winner. If our players were smart, they'd listen to him because he's been there. He's done it. He can tell them, no, guys, what you're doing is or is not good enough to do this. And I honestly believe that can be a burden on him more often than he may like to admit. You know, he's got 52 kids under him. I want them to step up and say, hey, Ben, what do I got to do? Can I do this better? What do we have to do to win a Super Bowl? Once you win it, well, you got 53 guys that can say, hey, what it took. Right now, he's the only one, so I have no problem with him. He can call me out, and that's fine.
Kevin Colbert on Ben Roethlisberger. 93.7 The Fan time is 3:04. It's brought to you by the all-new Ken Ganley Toyota. Drive a new Toyota with real zero down. Ed Bouchette was part of that conversation. He joins us in an hour, our Steelers insider. 2 hours, Jason Mackey. We're at the Cambria Suites. He'll get you ready for Penguins and Sharks. So these comments by Colbert have gotten a lot of run, Chris. Kevin endorsing Ben's leadership style, saying that because he's won a Super Bowl and the other guys in that room have not, that gives him a license to pretty much say and do what he wants. And he even included and lumped himself in there.
Yeah, I believe that would be a reference to, did they screw up the pick?
If he wants to call me out, he can. Are the Steelers giving Ben Roethlisberger too much power?
Openly, yeah. You can give a guy tacit power behind the scenes without making it so public. Like, I think Colbert is the best version of what he's trying to do there is trying to create a unified front behind Ben Roethlisberger, or a unified front where, hey, what Ben says goes, but you don't have to do that publicly, do you? Even if you've had a tumultuous offseason where the player has been criticized and is continuing to be criticized for some of his role in this, I don't love that publicly, man. He can criticize me. Why don't you just let him help draft the team then every year? Because he criticized your pick of Mason Rudolph. Here's the other thing I need to know, and this is something I admittedly don't. I don't know if you do. I don't know who has a better – and Ed should have a better handle on this than pretty much anybody. When you say Tom Brady has carte blanche or whatever, that means one thing because it is well documented on the record what a gym rat he is and how maniacal he is about winning.
Tom doesn't publicly criticize players.
Correct. But the lengths that he will go to make it very clear. Doran could even say this. He's told stories about like Brady being almost a weirdo with his pathological desire to win. I don't know what Ben is like in that regard. First in, last, is he? Because wouldn't you want the guy you are giving like all this clout to publicly, very explicitly saying this, saying he's even above me in some ways, the GM, the guy who drafted him, wouldn't you want him to be the model teammate in every single way? Work ethic, showing up late even though he's a veteran and maybe doesn't, or showing up early and staying late even though maybe he doesn't have to, constantly running like stuff with his receivers in the offseason to build cachet and rapport. I would want to give that kind of leadership endorsement to somebody that was over the top great in every way in that sense. Not somebody who just led the league in interceptions.
I think what Colbert said, and this I am not exaggerating, I think those comments are a watershed moment in Steelers history. And I say that because if we have another year where there is locker room malfunction and there are players who are not falling in line, and even though you've got Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell out of here, if there's still drama that hovers over this team and surrounds this team, and it's a function maybe of how the other 52 players feel the quarterback gets treated, that he goes too far with the preferential treatment, that he abuses the authority or the power that comes with the quarterback, these comments by Colbert now, I think, make him culpable. If Ben says something on it, anywhere, I don't mean just, you know, it always comes back on the show that we have on The Fan, but if Ben does something either after a game or in a locker room or on our airwaves, now when he makes those comments, what Colbert said is going to get referenced back. Well, the GM gave him permission to do it. The same way when Antonio Brown screws off instantly, well, Art Rooney said little annoyances, or, well, Mike Tomlin said, what do you want me to do, bench him? And if Ben abuses this authority or calling out does not sit well with certain teammates, I think Colbert now has put himself in the line of fire. You align yourself with a franchise quarterback when you lavish them with a big contract, but this is going above and beyond that. I've never heard another general manager say, you know what, this guy can say and do whatever he wants. I've never heard that, have you? Nope. You ever heard Bill Belichick say, I've never heard Belichick say, can call me out.
I think they act.
And maybe he can, but Belichick's never said it.
I think they act as a check and a balance on each other up there because they're both powerful in different ways. Here's my question. I agree with what you said there about, like, Colbert has absolutely hitched the wagon very publicly and put himself in line for criticism. Why do it after this season? Because my hypothesis
is... Because Ben's leadership skills are being questioned.
Okay, yeah, my hypothesis was present a united front. Man, if you're Kevin Colbert, though, even if that's what your aim is, you have to have a lot of faith that the statements made about the player are misguided.
Colbert is trying to make it clear to everybody that Ben's leadership skills or lack thereof are not responsible or to blame for the way the Antonio Brown relationship deteriorated. That's what he attempted to do. It was premeditated. It was choreographed. He was not reacting to a question emotionally. He had months to think about how he was going to handle that media session yesterday, and he went into that almost scripted with what he was going to say about Roethlisberger. And it's just very interesting to me because you open up a door here. Like, Kevin obviously is telling you, hey, we're all human. We all want to win. If I make a bad draft pick or I'm not doing my job and Ben calls me out, I'm okay with that. Problem is, not every person handles that kind of criticism the same way. What I would like to know is, if Ben did that to Mike Tomlin after a game, would Mike look at it the same way? Would Mike say, you know what, he's the quarterback. If he thinks my game management skills suck, which they do, by the way, but if Ben said it, he's got carte blanche to do it. He should say it because he's won two Super Bowls and I've only won one Super Bowl. So he does have authority or more clout than me in the organization to make these kind of comments. Is Ben allowed to...
Kevin Colbert hurt Antonio Brown's trade value, by the way, in saying this, in my opinion, mildly. Because you could have said Ben might... You could have not given this endorsement of Roethlisberger, in which case people could have around the league said, maybe if you get the player away from the quarterback that he doesn't like, it'll be fine. We're willing to take a better, you know, give up a better pick for a player for whom the quarterback might have been a bigger issue or the only complicating issue.
Yes.
And now Kevin Colbert's basically saying, nope, don't put it on the quarterback. It's only AB. Don't you think he's at least somewhat hurting diminishing his trade value? I think he is. That's just another consideration here. It's another log in the fire. And yes, in terms of Mike Tomlin, I guess he's giving Ben Roethlisberger dominion there too. Something we all assume to be the case. The great quarterback is always more important than the great head coach. I think even in New England it was born to be true because they traded Garoppolo.
I just don't necessarily agree that calling out coworkers, peers, is always the best way to display leadership. It might work for some guys. It doesn't work for everybody. Not everyone likes to be aired out publicly. Some guys take it as a challenge, and they react to it, and it motivates them, and it makes it better. It's obvious to us. Other guys take it personally. And Antonio Brown is obviously taking it personally. I think Hines Ward would have taken it personally based on some of the comments he's made after the Super Bowl. So not every player here is created equal. And I think that is what, you know, if you're a great leader, part of it is knowing who you can criticize publicly and who you can't.
Well, it's knowing the personalities of
exactly.
your room.
Exactly. Coaches have to do that too.
Bosses have to do it.
Right.
Our bosses don't deal with us the same way. Here's what I want to ask you. Does Ben, look at Ben, what he's done. Now look at all the other quarterbacks you would consider his peers, the higher echelon guys in the league.
Yeah.
Does Drew Brees call players out publicly? Have you heard of, can you, a guy who's encyclopedic in your knowledge of the league and just knowing things that have happened, can you think of a prominent instance where he called out a teammate?
He might have at one point in his career.
But you don't have anything to recall.
He made a generic comment about his offensive line. And lump them in as a group, but I don't remember him.
That's different, though. That's a unit. That's five different people bearing the brunt. What about Peyton Manning called out Mike Vanderjagt?
Yep.
When he sort of deserved it, and he's a kicker, so that's an easy target. No one really got mad at him for that. Aaron Rodgers hated the coach, right?
Yeah.
That's different than hating on the players. Who else? Brady, we already went over that. Okay, so his peers at the top of the league, nobody else really does it. Only one guy. I love that he does it from our standpoint. It's fascinating, and it's compelling theater, and it's different than your usual. Eli Manning, I guess, has called out Odell Beckham, maybe. But Eli's not in Ben's class as a player.
No.
So the guys that are at the top of the league, the top of the heap, who have won Super Bowls, don't have a reputation for doing this. What does that say? Ben hasn't, Kevin Colbert says he's won two, and therefore that gives him cachet. He hasn't won one in a decade.
What we didn't hear from the GM yesterday was this statement. Great leaders handle things like this in-house. That didn't get said. And I know there are a lot of Steelers fans who feel that way, not about necessarily Ben specifically, but about the whole team. Why are these things out there in the open? Every team has its tiffs. Every team has its fights, has its disagreements. With the Steelers, everything is out there. And Kevin Colbert gave Ben Roethlisberger a license and permission to do it again next year. And I think the point I'm making is I don't think that is going to be received well by everyone. It's not going to be received well by every Steelers fan, and I can assure you it's not going to be received well by every player in that locker room. And the proof I have on that is if every player looked up to Ben that way, he would have won the MVP award a few more times. Period.
Yeah, they would have looked past the fact that, well, we know the quarterback's the MVP and given it to him anyway.
And you know what? Colbert said, that's more on them than it is on Ben. And in certain cases, I think he's right. We just talked about a couple guys like Artie Burns and Bud Dupree. There are some guys who are not Super Bowl caliber players and are waste of talents and are not getting everything you possibly can get out of them in that room. But at the same time,
I think he's setting them up. He's also saying that the distraction-filled season here wasn't a problem, that all that stuff doesn't matter.
It was not a Roethlisberger creation is what he's saying.
Well, we'll see about that.
412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Not only is Kevin Colbert saying Ben should call out his teammates and him, he's saying that people should listen to it. He urges people to listen to it. Is that good leadership, calling out teammates? Is this enhancing Ben, or is this making him into a monster? 412-928-9370. That's the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. We are live from the Cambria Suites. It's the PM team on the Fan.
I have an obligation to inform y'all. I'm getting word from players and saying, no, he's part of the problem. Because guess what? He's not treating everybody the same. And they feel like Big Ben Roethlisberger gets a pass for a lot of things that he shouldn't get a pass for. We can make the argument that you're the quarterback, so of course you're going to be treated differently. He ain't Tom Brady.
We are at Cambria Suites, and you can listen to the morning show on Friday, February 22nd, for your chance to win a signed Donnie Shell jersey, thanks to Total Sports Enterprises. Visit them at tscshop.com and at Eat Drink Pittsburgh tonight. Kevin Colbert's comments on Ben Roethlisberger. Unquestioned leader of the team. He's the only Super Bowl winner. Guy should listen. I guess he doesn't value Morgan Burnett's
opinion on things.
So this is Super Bowl in Green Bay.
This is a he shouldn't. This is a chicken and the egg kind of situation. I just sent out a tweet to this effect, but I'll say the same thing here. I'd be okay with these comments if I thought Ben was going to like take sort of the public power he is being given by the GM, extreme public power, and use it pretty judiciously to try to galvanize the locker room or something like that, but I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. And the chicken and the egg part here is I don't think Colbert needs to say this kind of thing if Ben is already viewed as the unquestioned great leader in the room. He's saying something that gives the guy perhaps more power than he needs to have publicly, because privately those guys on that team don't necessarily view him
Colbert
that way.
Colbert needs to say it because Ben's leadership
is questioned.
Has taken a hit outside of the Steelers locker room, because either Steelers players have gotten to people in the media, or national media are just, and former players are just making things up. But you can't have a Ben Roethlisberger, you can't have an Antonio Brown conversation anymore without someone saying that Ben Roethlisberger has a lot of the blame.
And I'm getting a guy saying maybe these teammates should just listen to him. I don't think you just tell the teammates, listen to the guy. He's the quarterback. There's where the journey ends. That's disrespectful to a bunch of pros. I don't think, even at 30-whatever with two Super Bowls, and he's the only guy that's won one, sorry, Morgan, I don't think you just automatically have carte blanche. Brady's won 6, and it sounds like he still goes about the business of earning it every single time. I don't like the idea of maybe the teammates should fall in line. I get it. They haven't won. But neither has he in a decade. So those Super Bowls that he won feel like they're pretty far in the past. The fan didn't exist when he won his last one. And we've been around for a while now.
I think it is absolutely fair to ask the question if this endorsement from Colbert is either going to enhance Ben's leadership and it's going to have a positive effect where, I don't know, after the GM comes out and says it, players are going to be more receptive to listen? Or is it going to create a bigger problem where Ben is going to feel emboldened to call out players more, and you're going to have guys who not all of them feel like those comments are either fair or justified, or would just prefer that those comments get made behind closed doors so they can talk, right? I mean, if you have a problem with someone, or you don't think they're upholding their end of the bargain, it might be more constructive to just talk to the person and not let everybody know what they're doing wrong. And hey, sometimes it's worked. Like, I guess James Washington was a little bit better after the Denver game. I wouldn't say he was great. I don't think what Ben did completely changed and altered James Washington's season. He didn't take off after that, but he also didn't pack it in and suck the rest of the year. I would say that with Antonio Brown, we now know that this display of leadership had an adverse effect, or at least that's what AB is propagating. He's making people feel that way. If you like Ben calling out players, like, what about his comments on AB after the Denver game were constructive?
There wasn't anything. It
was that the right time to call out a guy's route running?
No, he took 2 shots at him. He's the best receiver in the league, and Ben took 2 shots at him, saying, I wish I had thrown 4 times to Juju, even though he only had 3 downs because he threw a pick on 3rd down. And then to anybody with eyes and ears, what he said rang like unfair blaming. Brown runs a route. He says the route is too flat, and the pick is made by a guy at the line of scrimmage, basically, who he gives credit, he says that's fluky. Meanwhile, the defensive back covering Brown was going to pick the pass off.
Here's a question. If the Steelers signed a player this offseason who had won Super Bowls somewhere else, a defensive player, let's say, who did not win in Pittsburgh but won championships on another team, would that guy then have the right to call out Ben? By Kevin Colbert's logic, it's Super Bowls that give you the credibility to make these comments.
So if they had signed Dante Hightower, would he have the credibility to call out Ben? Here's a guy that's on Super Bowl winning teams that have beaten Ben Roethlisberger. If they signed Gronk, would he have the right? If they think, who's another guy on, like Patrick Chung comes to the Steelers.
Yeah, if Dante Hightower got signed by the Steelers and after one of these losses said Ben needs to quit throwing interceptions, would he be allowed to say that?
He'd be pilloried in this town, and I think the franchise wouldn't like it because they'd say, "Well, what has he won here? What has he won with the Steelers?"
I just wonder how this is going to play in the locker room because Kevin Colbert basically said with this, there is an I in team.
It's Ben.
We're not all equals. There are guys that are on different footing, and that's been one of my problems with the Steelers in general, that there are different rules for everybody.
Well, the coach created them for 84, which absolutely created a problem. Would we agree?
Yes.
And the GM just made them very emphatically clear
that they're different for the quarterback. We'll see how he handles it. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. That's the phone number for you. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. Driven by Shorkey, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Ed Bouchette gives us his thoughts in 25 minutes as the PM team.
Every interaction that I've had with Ben, you know, playing with him, he came in as a rookie. I was in my fifth year. And our dialogue was, don't get discouraged. We had just lost week two to Baltimore Ravens. Tommy Mattis had went down with the elbow. Say, hey, don't get discouraged. You get open, I'm going to find you the ball. We're going to work hard. We're going to get better together. But at the same time, the communication was different because we had veterans like, you know, Alan Faneca, Jerome Bettis, you know, Jason Guild, and guys of that nature who they got the ultimate respect. That's kind of been lost. This is not the Pittsburgh that everybody's used to seeing.
Plaxico Burress on Ben Roethlisberger and leadership from Ben in his rookie year and the transformation of not only Roethlisberger but the Steelers locker room. That was on Fox Sports this morning. I'll tell you who this indirectly, what Colbert said about Ben, how this is a burden sometimes for him that he has to do so much leading because he's the only guy who's really won. What a slap in the face that is to guys like Cam Hayward. If I heard the general manager say, man, so much is on Ben's plate, and I was a guy that I thought had some respect in that locker room. You know, Burress, he didn't hear it there, but he went on to talk about Alan Faneca and Jason Gildon and these guys in the mid-2000s who he thought were players that Steelers looked up to. Colbert made it sound to me yesterday like Ben was the chief and everybody else was a Native American. There were no other chiefs in that locker room. Like,
he's the foreman. Everyone else is just is working on the project. You know what, though? I disagree with the assertion that having won a Super Bowl is like the sole qualification for leadership. I think Cam Hayward's a better leader than Ben Roethlisberger is.
How?
I think he says the right things more often. I think he takes ownership of things and doesn't, like, really cast negative comments out towards the rest. Like, when he says we need to play better, if he's talking about the defense, it's always we, the defense. It's not so-and-so stinks. And he doesn't say Bud Dupree isn't carrying his weight. And I think that's good leadership because that's when he's publicly talking. I don't know what he says when they're all alone, if he's crushing other guys in meetings, but I don't hear people saying that he's a bad leader. I don't hear Cam Hayward when he talks. I don't. If I know he's spoken on a given day and I don't know the content of what he has said, I do not expect to hear Cam Hayward's voice and a bunch of inflammatory stuff attached to it.
Craig will like this comment. This is Kevin Colbert betting big on Ben Roethlisberger at a time where a bet is necessary in the form of a contract, but also the two superstars that helped him achieve big numbers are leaving, and Colbert is entrusting Ben to get the job done. If you had a choice, if you could start, if you could have a team for next year, for 2019, and you had two choices, you could either have a team that started with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback, or a team that started with Le'Veon Bell at running back and Antonio Brown at wide receiver. Which team would you say has a better chance of winning?
I'd have to say the Roethlisberger team because the position is so inflated of in terms of importance.
But you have also said you don't think Ben had a very good year last year.
You're asking me.
I guess what I'm asking you is, where is Ben in his career without those two difference makers? You subtract them, and do you still have an elite quarterback? Do you still have a guy that can make?
Actually, I don't think so, but you're asking me what I would rather have for next year. I guess I have to bet on the QB. If you guarantee me that, like, Nick Foles it comes in and plays quarterback with those two here, still, the two skill position guys, maybe I'd take that team.
Okay, well, name a quarterback, name a starting quarterback that you look at and say, man, even if they had A.B. and Le'Veon, I wouldn't like their chances more than a Ben-led Steelers team. If I gave Baker Mayfield, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown,
12-4 to 13-3.
Okay, Lamar Jackson.
He'd have a winning record, I think. But I don't know if he'd be any better than he was this year, because I think he's a guy primed to regress unless his throwing mechanics are overhauled. Andy Dalton with those two guys would be very good. He'd be better than he is, because he'd have A.J. Green and Antonio Brown.
If the Bengals traded for Antonio Brown and signed Le'Veon Bell, you'd put the Bengals ahead of the Steelers in the division?
I would. Would you?
Yeah.
I think you'd have to.
Well,
I think it'd be very tough not to. They'd have Green and Brown out on the ends. I mean, those are two unbelievably talented wideouts.
They also had Chad Johnson and T.O. at one time, and they went 4-12.
I know, but those are A.J. Green is not really a diva like that. He's actually one of the quietest. And those two would just draft off of each other, I think. Then you put Bell back there with – you want a two-back lineup with
Bengals. The Bengals
Nixon
are
Bell.
A bad example, because even with Marvin Lewis gone, I still always feel like
– they get the quarterback that helped turn Jared Goff into a guy that won the NFC.
Yeah, you're making a good point. You're making a good point.
First time for everything for me. No, I think they. I'd have to put them just based on what they'd be assembling there. And you know what? How could I not? I've seen them finish ahead of the Steelers when the Steelers had all those guys with Ben. And I've seen Andy Dalton on the final game or the second to last game of the season because of a Ben turnover keep the Steelers out of the playoffs. So I would have to pick the Bengals if they had those
wide
two guys.
Receivers have grown on trees for the Steelers. They have found guys. None of them have been as good as Brown, but they find number one wide receivers. I think they might have one in Juju. And then you got to go get a complimentary part in free agency. Running backs grow on trees. The problem I have with the Steelers is Ben Roethlisberger without those two guys going to be so good that the defense can stay status quo and the Steelers can win games? And my answer to that right now is a loud no.
Thunderous no.
Yes. If this is your defense next year, I don't see Ben putting the Steelers on his back to the tune of 11-5, 12-4. I don't. If he did, that would be an MVP season.
If he leads them to 12-4, his stats would almost have to be good enough to get him MVP consideration.
Like, I would say, if you really think about it, there are only two teams that might have the trade capital and maybe the dollars in free agency to get Bell and Brown?
Colts.
The Colts.
Texans. No, not
the Texans.
No,
the Colts, Jets, and Raiders. And if any of those three teams acquired both Bell and Brown, would you put them ahead of the Steelers? Jets. Sam Darnold, Brown, Bell.
I'd be tempted to.
Raiders, Derek Carr.
I would actually put the Raiders maybe ahead of the Steelers in that because they're not giving up their pick that might end up netting them an elite pass rusher at the top of the draft, which is what they desperately needed. So, yeah, I'd consider. And Derek Carr has gone 12-4.
Colts.
Yes. Hard yes. And the fact that the Jets, who are, I would say, have the biggest question at quarterback just because you got to see Darnold develop, the fact that I would at least consider it is an endorsement of the other two guys.
If the Colts had Bell and Brown,
they might be the AFC favorite.
I was just going to say that.
Because they'd have T.Y. Hilton and Brown, who are two. It's one in 1A, and Brown is clearly one, but Hilton becomes the best 1A maybe in the league. They'd have unbelievable running game with Mack and Bell, and they'd have Luck throwing them all the ball. And they have a defense that is actually finally getting some playmakers in Leonard. I think Malik Hooker is a pretty good player so far. They'd be arguably the AFC favorite.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, Route 19 in McMurray. Get auto show bonus savings this month. The sweetheart of a deal at Sun Chevy, 49 degrees, a low of 28. We're at Cambria Suites. Pens and Sharks, come on down, have a beer. Jason Mackey, great food too. Cheeseburgers.
Chili dogs.
Chili dogs, wings. Jason Mackey is going to be here from 5 to 6. Coming up next, our Steelers insider, Ed Bouchette, his takeaways from talking to Kevin Colbert. It's the PM team.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.